In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This parable that we've just heard read is given at a supper to which Jesus has been invited by one of the pious Pharisees. And the man has just said, in the midst of the company of the people who are dining there together along with Jesus and his apostles, "Blessed are they who eat and drink in the kingdom of the Lord." Blessed are they who eat and drink in the kingdom. And the irony is, of course, that Christ, the Son of God, is sitting across from him. And so Jesus tells this parable in order to answer the question that is unspoken, the question that is really begged to be asked: what does it mean to eat and drink in the kingdom of God? A certain man invited many to a great supper. A supper comes in the evening, at the end of the day. Jesus Christ always comes at the end. In our own lives, when we've exhausted every possible alternative to God, Jesus is there. It's like when you look for something, and we always say, I always do in my house, they always said it at home when I was growing up, whenever you're searching for something, it's always in the last place you look. Well, you've looked all these other places, and you're thinking to yourself, maybe it couldn't be anywhere else because I've looked everywhere else but this one place, and finally I found it in this place. But really what it means is that when you find what you've been looking for, you stop looking. Not everyone does stop looking when they find what we all ought to seek. Some people continue to look. But the thing that you were searching for is always found in the last place. And it's the same way with Jesus Christ, the King of our own lives. It seems like most of us turn to just about anything else before we turn to him. He is, after all, so demanding that we give up our love of the things of the world and our love of ourselves more than him. That has to be given up. If he is going to have dominion, if he is going to be sovereign over our lives, then all of those things have to be put aside. And so the great feast that is prepared by God the Father, because that's who Jesus is talking about, God the Father, wishing to bring humankind to him, prepares a great supper. And how does he prepare that supper? Where do we begin? This is the day when we remember the forefathers of Christ, Adam, Noah, Moses, all of those of the Old Testament. God was preparing this supper when we human beings could sit down and eat and drink at his table with him as the Lord of our lives ever since the fall. But especially and most particularly, the high point of that preparation is the feast day that we are preparing to celebrate during this Lenten season, the birth of the Son of God into the world. That is the final step in God's preparation of the supper where we might eat and drink along with him. His only begotten Son is sent as the one servant who does all of the things that the Father asks of him. No one has ever done all of those things before. Christ keeps all of the commandments, not by the letter, but by the Spirit. He fulfills all of the righteousness that the people of the Old Testament had, with such labor, only partly been able to comprehend. He fulfills all of that righteousness. He does all of the things that human beings were created to do. bringing together the meaning of creation into himself and returning it to God, because we were meant to be that kind of being, a priest of creation, someone who brings everything together in their life and offers it up to God. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, he is the only one who fulfills, as a good servant, all that we were called upon to do. And he fulfills God's mission, the mission of Christ in the world, to pass through a life like ours, growing up, a child, a young person, a fully grown man, fulfilling all of the things in a human life that a human being is capable of doing at one with God. And then finally, the great task of the cross, destroying the power of death, arising and returning to God the Father, so that he could send the Holy Spirit to us, so that we could come and share the table, the supper that God had prepared. And that only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, is sitting across from the Pharisee. All things are ready, and God calls all men to his supper. But what happens in the parable? Everyone who is invited, everyone on the guest list, has some reason that they can't come. And in one way, this is a reference to the old Israel that had been prepared for so long. They don't acknowledge Jesus the Christ as their king. They all have some reason, a love of power or a love of pleasure or a love of wealth, some love of this world that causes them to reject God's call to them to come and eat and drink with him in the kingdom. The Christ who is sitting across from this Pharisee has said, the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is within you. What the Pharisee is referring to could be his if he simply responded to Christ as his Lord. Instead, he makes this pious exclamation about how blessed those are who eat and drink in the kingdom, as though it were a far-off event. We'd like to keep it sometimes as a far-off event, because of the sacrifice of all of those things that we're doing in the world to come and to celebrate this feast, this wedding feast with God. So after none of those who are invited will come, the master of the feast, the Lord who has invited everyone to come to his supper so long in the preparation, tells his servants to go and to ask the sick and the crippled, the halt, that is, and the blind to come. Those are the ones who respond. Why is it that the sick and the poor and the crippled respond? It is because the life that all of us as human beings want, the life of the world, has been taken from the poor, the sick, the crippled, the blind. They are not able to go and succeed in the world without God in a worldly kind of way and satisfy themselves with something other than God. They are more desperate. The life of the pleasure of the world has been taken from them, and so they respond. And it seems as though in all of our lives, we too don't respond to this call to come and eat and drink supper with God until we realize that we, like they, are also sick, crippled, blind, broken in some way. And then there is some hope once we've realized that all of the things of the world do not satisfy our hunger. Then we might be ready to respond to God's call to come and eat and drink with him. We are preparing for that final event in the preparation by God for us to eat and drink with him. That's why we shouldn't be pre-celebrating. because we're still in the process of preparing ourselves to be able to receive the birth of the only begotten Son of God as the birth of the King. If we already are celebrating by partaking of the good things of this world now, what place is there left for Christ? If those are the things that we desire, those are the things that satisfy us, then we have not yet reached the point where we know our own brokenness, our own sickness, the fact that we are not able to be as we intended to be when we began our lives. And so we pass through this time of fasting in preparation for that event. At Great Lent, we prepare ourselves for a different event. But during this Lenten season, we are preparing ourselves by reminding ourselves that we do not live by bread alone. We do not live by the things of the world alone. That can't be done without fasting. It can't be done if we are already celebrating something other than the answer to the spiritual poverty in which we find ourselves. Because until we reach that point, we're not ready for Christ. We're not ready to declare Him the King and the Lord of our lives. If our life is more devoted to the things of the world, we may have a place for Him in our life. It was a book that used to be popular a long time ago. I don't know, it may still be around. These days it seems like nothing ever completely disappears. God is my co-pilot. Co-pilot! God's not the co-pilot. He's the pilot. We're the co-pilot. We work along with Him. We are not first in our own lives. And until we realize that, then we're not ready to be Christians. We're not ready to call Him King. We're not ready to know the joy of the fact that it is now that the Lord has come and He is the answer to all that we lack. But if we believe we lack nothing and God is just kind of a side dish, I could go to church or not. My life is centered somewhere else. It would be a nice addition. Maybe the cranberry sauce, along with the main feast. We want to have everything in our life, and so there is a little place for God. Well, there are such religions, but those religions are not Christian religions. As we prepare to celebrate the birth of Christ, let us remember that our life is in our own hands. What we are created to be is not forced on us. It's a choice that we have to make ourselves. Father John Baer once said, talking about the creation, that when God created the heavens and the earth and all of the animals, He said at the end of each verse, "Let it be," and it was. But when He came to the creation of man, He said, "Let us create man." He didn't just say, "Let man be." Let him be created as he is meant to be. All of the animals are that way, we are not. Father John points out that God left it up to us to make that final exclamation, that final declaration. It is of our own choice that we do or don't say when it comes to our living as real human beings. Let it be. That is the point at which we are ready to accept our poverty before God, and we acknowledge our humanity not as the pilot of our own lives, but as the co-pilot in cooperation with God. We look at the pilot seat and there's no one there. We know that God needs to be there. He needs to be the pilot. And so when the one is born who is the pilot of the human race, without whom none of us can find our way, and now we are able to take off, take flight in our lives, and live those lives because the one who is going to be the pilot of our life and give us guidance. Keep us from getting lost or crashing in flames as we give all of our efforts to living our lives. He has been born. Now we can all live the lives that we were created to live. And so let us prepare ourselves to celebrate the birth of the King, the birth of the one who has dominion, and we can participate in his dominion, or we can lose our way. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.